This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Alvari.
Welcome into Bet the W. Danielle Alvari here, joined by, of course, Calvin Wetzel, both back from some weddings this weekend. How did your wedding go that you went to, Calvin?
Mine was great. I don't know if I want to talk about on air what we just talked about right beforehand, because it's very embarrassing, but let's just say I need to learn my time zones better. But the wedding was great. Yep. Had fun. So, and you had fun at yours too, right?
I did have fun at mine. And also mine was around the corner from my absolute favorite place to get a burrito. 5 minute walk. Amazing.
Yes. Perfect. And the churros that you sent me a picture of.
The churros. Yes. They're so good. I had to send Calvin a picture. We gave an update and both of us, we hit the unders on how long our ceremonies were. So I think that's a win for everybody. That's our wins of the week. I'm sure we'll have more at the end. But yeah, I went over and walked and got it. And it was funny because we left the wedding and were able to come back because it was so close and nobody noticed. So got the churros, got the burrito. It was a great time. And congrats to the couple. That said, we have four games going on Tuesday, and it's officially August. Can you believe that? Can you believe how fast this year is going?
It's crazy that it's August already. It's about to be, I think the Commissioner's Cup is coming up in the next week or week and a half. I can't remember what day, but we're there already. It's time to, people are starting to think about like playoff seeding and everything. I see all that talk going around. Went by fast.
And also, have to shout out Calvin on the fantasy side. Because I think you're leading in our league right now. Do you have the most wins right now?
I want to say I'm 7-1. So things are going pretty well over there too. Yeah.
I don't want to brag, but I'm on a 2-win streak. And I think it's going to be 3 this week because I'm playing Dano and he often forgets to set his lineup. So
I don't think Dano has a win yet. So
no, he doesn't. He has plenty of wins. Yes, he has plenty of wins on the betting side. That's what I think has happened. Yes. Like, Dano and I literally were so focused on the betting side of stuff, we forgot about our fantasy teams the first couple weeks. So he's at least winning in one aspect, and that's all you need. Yeah. The Lynx are also winning a lot. They've won and covered 3 straight, which, like, 3, okay, not a big deal. But from a team that we're not expecting to win games necessarily, and also cover. They also beat New York, a back-to-back fatigued New York, but still 4 straight overs, and they're at the Connecticut Sun now. The Sun coming off of a loss to the Lynx, like we said, on Sunday. So on Sunday, the line was actually crazy to me. Could you believe this line? I believe it was Sun minus 11.
Yeah, I mean, without Nafisa Collier, I sort of thought that the Sun could cover that based on, like, I mean, number one, Nofi. Number two, a Minnesota Lynx letdown spot after that road win over the Liberty. I was extremely wrong because the Lynx did it again. Another road upset over a really strong team, one of the top tier teams. So I don't know what's going on. Like, people talk about Ewing theory, and I've joked about it in text groups, and it's obviously not actually what's happening, that the Lynx are not a better team without Nafisa Collier. But for the last 2 games, they have been about as good as they have been all season, which makes no sense when you lose your best player. But sometimes that's how it works. And they haven't just been covering. Like you said, 2 road upsets. Those are two about as good of a wins as anyone in the league has outside of the 2 teams that beat the Aces this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you pointed that out, that it's not that they're a better team necessarily. It reminds me kind of what's going on with the Mystics as well, where they haven't necessarily been able to win without Elena Deladon or even with some of their other key players out, but they have been able to score. And that's not because they play better offense without Elena Deladon. That's just, you know, that's not what's going on here. And you've seen recently that they've kind of dropped off in those categories as well. So people are starting to figure that out. That said, the Lynx did get Jessica Shepherd back, and I added her to my roster because you know that I desperately need forwards and centers. So I have basically, I think, 4 Lynx players now. I'm just like, I'm the Lynx and Breanna Stewart pretty much for my fantasy team. But it was good to see Jessica back. She looked good. And so maybe that's obviously something contributed to this win for them. Do you think they can do it again? Do you think this line will be this large again?
Well, I could see it opening about the same, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because on one hand, you know, you might see it open a point or two lower. On one hand, the Lynx have obviously proven that it's not a one-game fluke. They're on a roll right now. On the other hand, I think when you see back-to-back situations, this is true in men's or women's, really college or pro, the team that loses or basically that just plays worse in the first game is the one that makes more adjustments and comes out and plays better in the next game. So, and sportsbooks know this, when you look at like playoff series in the NBA or the WNBA, and you look at the line from game one to game two, the team that loses game one, you'll see that the line sometimes actually moves the other way towards the team that loses because of these adjustments. So it'll be interesting to see that if they do that here, but I don't think this line will move a ton because you can sort of look at it as different reasons to move one way and different reasons to move the other way. And I think it'll probably end up being in the general neighborhood of where it was.
Yeah. And to your point, there's going to be corrections. I don't think the Sun are going to go 3 of 17 from three again, shooting 17%. There's things that have to come back towards the mean here. And again, neither team shot incredibly from deep. The Lynx only 6 of 19, so 31%, but 57% field goal percentage for the Lynx. So maybe that regresses a little bit. Maybe the Sun come back up in some categories. Again, this was only a 4-point win for the Lynx. It was at the Sun. This is at the Sun again. So we've talked about how you don't have to factor in travel as much because they've already played here. But I agree with you. I think this will be a closer matchup. I would be shocked if the Sun didn't win this one. But as far as the line, what would you need this line to be for you to want to bet the Connecticut Sun?
I think it's so scary to bet against the Minnesota Lynx right now. So
right now, yeah.
Yeah, it would be really hard to pull the trigger, even if the line is pretty low. But
if I got 7.5 with the Lynx,
realistically,
I could take that. Yeah.
I think I would have to. As scary as it is betting against this team that as hot as they are, I think you have to take the Sun at 7.5. Although, even though it didn't work out this past game, I bet the Sun first half and lost. I think I would probably be more willing to pivot to a Sun first half again if we got something below 5, maybe 4, 4.5 in the first half. I would love to see that and bet the Sun again in the first half and see those adjustments sort of really work just right out of the gate.
Right. And I wonder if we'll see any kind of defensive adjustments for the Sun as well. It seems more like it was just a poor shooting night in a lot of ways. But two straight overs for them, of course, it was versus Dallas in their last one. And the Lynx have seen 4 straight overs. So the total on Sunday was 160. I think we'll see something a touch higher, but I still think I could bet this over. If we're getting like 160 or 162, I could go with an over again.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be another over. I don't think they're going to adjust it up far enough. I hope not, because I bet the over in this game to make up for that loss on the Sun. I thought this one should have been in the mid-160s. It hit 170. I still think it should be in the mid-160s again for this one. And if it's not, I'll be hitting it.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the next game. This is bleak, or it might be bleak for the Fever, because this could be a sweep of the season so far, because the Mercury are at the Fever and they've already beat them twice this year, even in games that they were not expected to win. Last time they played, the Mercury were getting 2.5 points and they won straight up. They covered the last 5 matchups versus the Fever dating back to even last season, which I never like to give those stats because we're talking different circumstances, teams, coaches, but just interesting. Like, Phoenix has really had their way with the Fever, at least as far as covering the spread and winning most recently this season. However, the Mercury did just lose to the Sky 104-85, easy over. And the Fever lost to the Storm 85-62. So both of these teams coming off of losses to not very good teams.
Yeah, well, the Fever in that Storm game, in particular in the second quarter, we had all these games going on at once, right? And so I had 4 screens.
6 games on Sunday.
And I was watching, I was honed in on one and then kind of checking in on the others. And I had like the Fever Storm over here on the screen on the left. And so I checked in and the Fever had like 19 points beginning of the second quarter. I look later, it was like 23-19. Then it was like 30-19. Then it was like 35-19. And it was like a good 20 minutes that the Fever, I kept looking over and they kept being on 19 points. They went about 8 minutes of game time, I want to say it was, without scoring a single point in the second quarter, which was hideous at home against a bad defense too. About as bad as it gets. But
yeah,
we've talked about this. This isn't actually a bad thing for them, because the Fever need to be in the lottery if they want this franchise to go in the direction that they want it to. And getting swept by the Mercury, who they're going to be competing with for the lottery spot, is actually going to work out really well for them in the long term. The difference in this game, though, between those first 2 games that the Mercury won, is that their Brittany Griner is going to be playing. And I think Brittany Griner really sort of dominated that matchup with Aaliyah Boston when they met head-to-head. So it'll be interesting to see how Aaliyah Boston does now, not having to go up against Brittany Griner. Obviously, Aaliyah Boston has not looked like the same player after the All-Star break and after Nelissa Smith got hurt, so she's been seeing more defensive attention. So there's that as well.
Teams.
But this will be a different matchup than what we saw the first 2 times on both sides.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I'm glad you pointed out the Brittany Griner part. I also noted that the Fever have shot very poorly for whatever reason in those two games versus the Mercury earlier this year. One of the times, I believe it was like, I mean, like a shooting performance like the one you saw from the Sun on Sunday versus the Link. So if they can get any of that kind of going again for them, and again, it doesn't help that Nelissa's not in there, as you pointed out. God, I don't want to look. I don't even want to look at a side for this game. Do we look at an over? But then you look at this, like you said, the Fever went on that crazy scoring drought, and they only scored 62 points versus the Storm.
Yeah, I mean, I think this total should be in the 150s, based on how the Fever offenses look lately, and I, you know, I also thought that with the Sky and Mercury, and it was in the 150s, and that was completely wrong because it hit felt like it hit 300. I don't know what it actually hit. Sky, they shot 50% combined from three on a lot of attempts, Sky and Mercury. So I don't see that happening again. But yeah, I mean, if this is low enough, if this gets bet down into the lower 150s, I could take an over. But I don't know with these offenses. It's really and the Mercury tough. Offense doesn't really look very great. Yesterday, it looked fine. But that's because shots went in and they still lost because more shots went in for the Sky. In general, the Mercury offense doesn't actually look very good without Brittany Griner either. So if this one is 160, I'm definitely taking an under.
Yeah, I think that's the way you have to look on this one. For both of these teams, four unders in their last five games played. And like I said, the last time they played, the Mercury were getting 2.5. The total was 162.5. And I believe that one went over the last time they played. 162. No, it went under. Yeah, it was 85-63. So Fever had trouble scoring against the Mercury last time. No Brittany Griner, so definitely factor that in here. If you had to pick a side here, who do you think is going to win the game? Let's say it was a toss-up.
If it was a pick'em, I would still bet the Fever right now just because they're at home. And honestly, I don't view both of these teams right now with who they have on the court, no Nelissa, no BG, as really that different strength-wise. So if you give me a pick'em, I'm just going to take the home team because I think, you know, that would really be the separating factor.
Do you think the Fever will get points here since they've already lost to the Mercury twice and they're coming off this really bad loss and on this losing stretch, all these reasons?
It's possible. It's possible. Mm-hmm. If they yeah, I would bet it. I would bet the Fever is underdogs here. And, you know, it's possible that we see one of those scoring droughts and just get burned on that. But I think I would have to take it if you're getting plus money.
Yeah, I agree. All right, this matchup, very excited about. Atlanta Dream at the Las Vegas Aces. The last time they played, the Aces were favored by 11.5. The total was 174. I believe this definitely went over. The Aces are coming off of a win themselves. They just beat the Wings. They were at home in Vegas, 104-91, which I'm sure felt good because the Wings are one of the teams who actually have beat the Aces this year. The Dream are a team that almost came close. They were dominating a lot when they last played in Atlanta on June 2nd, but the Aces rallied back. They won 92-87. And most recently, the Dream on Sunday beat the Mystics 80-73. That was also in Atlanta. So now Atlanta on the road after both these teams coming off of home wins.
Yeah, this one, I mean, the most exciting thing about this one is that it's going to be an absolute up and down track meet with lots of points. And that's exciting for casual viewers. I know you and I both like defense, but this one will be fun to watch too. And
it's been an over season lately.
It has. And this is one of those that could end up being one of those you hate where the total is in the 170s and we still might have to bet the over, which I know is not your thing. But
yeah, we've been doing it though. We've been hitting them lately.
If this is in the low, or even, you know, if this is like around 173.5, 174, I will probably still think about taking the over. I think this one might end up closing as the highest total we've seen all season.
Yeah. And to your point about those high totals that I don't love, they have been hitting for the Aces. I believe six of their last seven have gone over, and all of them have been 169.5 or higher virtually. So These high totals are still hitting for the Aces. They're getting it done. They're pushing the pace. Now, in those most recent games, played Dallas, another fast team, a good offense, Chicago, bad defense, Seattle, LA. So you're seeing like some similarities here about maybe just not facing really great defenses. Atlanta is not a great defense, but I will say I have noticed that Atlanta's defensive metrics seem to have trended up a little bit since the start of the season. So maybe I'm being too hard on them in that regard. What do you think the line's going to end up being for this one?
For the spread, I think we're definitely going to see double digits again. I don't remember the last time we saw Aces favored by single digits. Probably the Liberty game, and they still won by double digits.
Especially at home.
Right.
Yeah.
And the total, I think we see mid-170s. I really do.
Okay. Would you take, you take the over there? I mean, like what, 173 and a half being the last point you'd want to take it at, or higher?
I would probably still put at least a little bit on the over at 174, 174 and a half. I'd probably tap out at 175.
That's high. That's a high total. Well, their last total, like I said, 174, hit an over. And I was surprised to see Atlanta's actually covered the last three times they played the Aces. They've all been double-digit spreads. They got 13, they got 12, they got 11 and a half. So it's tempting. I think that the Dream can keep this close. What do you think? I think if I'm getting double digits, I might look to the Dream here.
Yeah, the Dream are one of those teams that we talk about this all the time. They're like the Wings, where sometimes
High
they,
ceiling.
yeah, high ceiling, low floor, and sometimes they just completely lay an egg against the bottom of the league. But other times they really show up to play against the top of the league, and so their ceiling is absolutely to pull an upset here.
Yeah.
And if we're getting, I mean, if we get some crazy high line in the teens, then yeah, I would definitely consider taking the Dream over, you know, on the full game spread. I will say this could be another one though where we see this all the time, that the Aces cover the first half and then get backdoored on the full game. And it
Yes.
almost happened again last night against the Wings. The Aces were up, I want to say it was 17, 18, 19 at halftime. Wings cut it to, was it one or two? One possession. The line was 10 and a half, so it looked like the Wings were going to easily cover, and then the Aces ended up kind of pulling away at the end, barely covering full game as well. But this would be one of those, I wouldn't touch Dream first half, but full game,
Right.
I would definitely think about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that there was an Aces, we talked about Aces first half and how incredible that stat has been so far this year for them covering. But then, of course, the next game, I think they got caught by the hook. So,
Yes.
still a good strategy to play it this way, I think. But the Dream hang in these games. And it's funny you brought that up, that by the third quarter, fourth quarter, the Wings are coming back against the Aces. That's a pattern for this Aces team, right? They're up by so much at these halves that usually third or fourth quarter, the team they're playing, if they have an offense to speak for, can start to kind of close those gaps a little bit. And it's opposite of what I think happens with like the New York Liberty or the Washington Mystics in third quarters. They come out and their defense clamps down a little bit more. So it's just important, especially for live betting, to I think note those things. So that's a good way to play this, is probably if you're looking Aces first half, if you're looking full game, I like the Dream here, but we'll have to see. Hopefully we get double digits. Finally, another double digit spread, most likely, even though the New York Liberty are on the road. They are still on the road. They already played in Los Angeles on Sunday. They played the Sparks. They beat the Sparks 87 to 79. Frankly, I'm impressed that the Sparks were able to score this many points, but they've covered two games in their last 10 games. So it has been a rough going. On Sunday, the Liberty were only favored by 8.5, and the total was 165.
Yeah, that 8.5 was, that was brutal for anyone who bet the Liberty minus 8.5. I don't know if you did. I didn't,
Got hooked.
fortunately.
I did not.
Not
Yes.
only did it get hooked, but this was another one with the same game script that we just talked about with the heavy favorites with the Aces. Liberty got out to a big lead into the 20s. This live
Yep.
line got up to 25.5 at one point.
Love
Sparks
that.
come all the way back, end up hitting a free throw when they're down 9 with like 7 seconds left to lose by 8 and cover the plus 8.5. Awful loss if you were on Liberty minus 8.5. Amazing beat if you were on the Sparks. But again, Liberty covered first half, no problem. So this would be another one. I have to shout out Daniel Mataya, who we talk about all the time on the show,
Yes.
because the other day I
Bad
forget.
fantasy player this year, but amazing better.
Yeah, don't listen to him on fantasy, but he gives good betting advice. And one thing he told me the other day, I want to say it was Dream versus Liberty, whenever that last happened. One of these matchups where we felt like it was going to be the same game script, heavy favorite, get out to big lead, maybe get backdoored. And I was looking at the line, whatever it was, plus 10.5 pregame, and I was just texting Daniel like, hey, what do you think about Dream plus 10.5? And he just sent back, you might as well wait till halftime and take Dream plus 19.5. And like, sure enough, Dream
So
got down
true.
big, obviously made a run. So this is another one where, like the last game we talked about with Aces Dream, like if you're gonna bet on the Sparks in this game, probably don't
Wait.
do it pregame, because
Yeah,
you're going to
wait.
get a better line at some point when the Liberty jump all over them. And like we saw last night, line got up to 25 and a half, ended up cutting it to 8. No reason to bet that Sparks pregame line, even though you would have barely won on the hook, because you could have got 25 and a half by just waiting. So that would be my
Yeah.
strategy in this one too.
Yeah, I completely agree. The largest lead the Liberty had this game was 27. The Sparks were never ahead. So if it plays out similarly, you're going to get opportunities here. And I don't see why it wouldn't. The only time I've seen the Liberty stress me out most recently was when they played the Storm. They weren't up at the half when they last played the Storm. And then you have a great opportunity to get in on the Liberty at a better number than pregame. So weirdly enough, the Liberty probably really good live betting options for them right now, it seems. Do you think the Sparks are starting to start coming back now that they have a couple pieces back? I know Shanae's going to be out for a couple weeks. Still not shooting well. Everyone's shooting really poorly from three, it seems. 22%, 5 of 22 in that game on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the water with all the shooting performances, other than the Liberty, who seem to be the one team who can make shots. But
yeah,
I don't think the Sparks are going to shoot that poorly again. They do still miss Lexi Brown, who's out again. I really hope that she can come back at some point, you know, for real, because that's big
healthy
in terms of their shooting. Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Just betting aside, even, you know.
But, yeah, of course.
Even if the shooting regresses a little bit, I mean, this would be one where I don't really think the Sparks are going to be able to compete, but then again, I mean, in the fourth quarter, they look like juggernauts, so who knows? And
yeah,
I think the Liberty looks so good every game this season coming off of a loss. They've absolutely dominated the first half. They were coming off of a loss yesterday when they played the Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now they're not. Now they're not coming off a loss, so... different story. Who knows what Liberty team we get? Sometimes we get that Liberty team who is a little bit complacent and or just goes ice cold. So
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird. It's a weird comparison, but this little stretch of Liberty non-covers, again, they've covered two of their last 10. It reminds me almost of kind of an opposite thing happened at the NBA Finals this year with the Heat, and they were constantly getting 8 or 9 points in the NBA Finals, and it was like the book just didn't catch up to it, and you kept getting these points. And so kind of on the flip side with the Liberty here, they're not covering these giant spreads even though they are expected to. So the Heat were undervalued in a way where they're like, I don't know, during the regular season the Heat did not cover at all, and they thought the books probably were like, oh, this is, you know, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and this is such a talented team that we have to make the line this. And that's what they've done with the New York Liberty, because you have to. It has Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu. Like, it's a stacked roster, so you have to make these lines, but they're not necessarily covering them. So I can't bet these Liberty lines, and I'm certainly not betting it on the road.
No, I don't think I will bet either side pregame in terms of the spread, just because I'm with you on not betting the Liberty, but at the same time, like we talked about, don't want to bet the Sparks pregame either when you're going to get a better line most likely at some point early in the game. So probably will stay off the side pregame, may bet first half, may end up betting a side live, but pregame I don't really, unless we get some crazy number that's extremely different from the first game, which is unlikely since the spread ended up being so close in the first game, I don't think I'll touch it.
Yeah, it's going to be right around this number, and I think the way to do this is live, like you said. This game is live for me. There's not a lot of action I want pregame.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, win of the week. Do you have a win of the week for me, Calvin? You had a really good one last week, so what's going on this week?
Well, we already talked about the wedding. I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, that can count.
Lots of good food at the wedding, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's so good, because sometimes wedding food is hit or miss.
Yeah, wedding food is hit or miss, so I didn't know what to expect, but they definitely came through with some good food for us, good dancing, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was my win of the week.
Okay, yeah, mine as well. Mine were the churros. They're the best churros ever. The place, if you're ever in La Jolla, I believe there's another one also in maybe Laguna Beach, but they have a couple of them. It's just called the Taco Stand, which is like, that seems like it'd be very hard to find, but I love the burritos, I love the tacos, and I especially love the churros. Best churros ever. And it's okay that I did this, by the way, because the wedding did not have cake. They did like little mini desserts, but they didn't do cake. They did no cake. So I had to fend for myself. So that was my win of the week. That's got the churros.
Socially acceptable.
Secured the bag. Yes. Mazel tov. Wonderful things for all the happy couple. But as always, thank you for joining us today on Bet the W. Thank you to Calvin. Hopefully we'll get him back here later this week to look at the Thursday slate as well. And you can follow us on Bet the W on Twitter as well.